Welcome to The Break Breakdown. Today's episode is the first of a 9-episode conversation breaking down the steps we took to bring the script of Kinsley Versus to life. I'm Courtney Romano, the writer and the director, and also one of the 4 producers. This season is about putting craft into action, which can sometimes feel theoretical. We want to share the most practical breakdown of the steps we took. And maybe as we do, you'll end up finding a blueprint for your own process. A quick note on terminology. Whether scripted or documentary, the filmmaking process is typically split into 3 phases: pre-production, production, and post-production. Pre-production is when the planning for the filming happens, production is when you're actually on set, and post involves the editing portion. But what happens before pre-production? Well, it kind of depends on what you consider the beginning. See, I had a script called Kinsley Versus, which took me several years to write. So when I finally completed it, I shared it with a friend from college, who then became the executive producer of the series. You'll hear from him throughout this season, and he's here now. Benjamin Shaw, Benj, welcome to The Break Breakdown.
Thank you, Courtney.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. So because we've known each other since 2003, so if you're doing the math, we're our late 30s, I'm 39.
I'm 29.
That's right, for doing the math.
If you're doing my math.
So we met at Muhlenberg College in Allentown, Pennsylvania, performing an original play called Stained.
Yes, we were two of the best actors in that.
Yes, and neither of us should be noted act anymore.
No.
I stopped a lot right after college, but
yeah, I stopped a few years ago.
I guess I want to mention that because the colleagues and people you create with, you meet them early on, often. Mm-hmm. And you don't know in what way they're going to end up playing a role in your life or your professional life in this instance. But it's cool that we've known each other, I think, for a long time. And that also, this is the first project that we've actually worked on together since college, that we've been in and out of each other's lives on a regular basis. But now we've spent a lot of time over the past 2 years because mm-hmm. of Kinsley.
I knew that we were going to work on this stuff together, but you didn't know. I knew, because I don't know if you remember this. This could have been 10 years ago at this point, maybe 7. We were walking around the Museum of Modern Art, and we were walking on the outside of the, just like kind of circling it before we went in. And we were talking about our careers. You're not going to introduce yourself like this, but you're a Broadway director. You've got legitimate street cred.
I have worked on a bunch of Broadway shows that's true as the associate director. And I bring that to a project. You bring something else, which is like 10 years of auditioning and performing extensively and dancing and singing.
Yeah.
And then also, I feel like I went through like a sort of traditional route in mm-hmm. pursuing a directing path. You as a writer and director have done something a little bit more unconventional, which is at some point you decided, I'm interested in these other areas and they're not being nurtured in my life as an actor. So I'm going to start to create an education for myself.
I couldn't find what I wanted within the system. So I said, let me just go outside of the system. And that was the conversation that we had been having. You said, what are we going to do, Court, with your perspective, career and my career and how they were going? We were having this conversation. I said, Benj, we're going to get into film and TV. And you turned to me and you said, what? Because we were both really deep into theater at that point. I was like, yeah. Theater's dead, which I don't believe at all, but you know,
she sort of does.
But I kind of say these things just to get a rise.
On the other hand, saw a funny girl with a show last night. I don't think theater's dead, but it is an old man's sport.
No.
And Michelle was very good.
Theater is not dead, but I was trying to make the point that there was an opportunity for us, I thought, individually and collaboratively in film and TV. And you said, well, how are we going to do that? And I said, I have no idea. Fast forward, I had been working on pilots and scripts and writing things and kind of going the writing route when I decided in 2020, I want to direct. I don't know why I haven't said this before, but it makes so much sense with where I'm at and how my mind works and what I'm interested in. I want to write and direct. So I did that in 2020. And then I was working on another script called Kinsley Versus, and I shared it with you.
Yeah. So right before Kinsley Versus, Courtney wrote and directed and produced a short called Screen Test, which I think is just important to mention One, because it's great, but two, because it was like your final thesis, your grad program that you put yourself through that was that you were also the dean of.
I passed, thank goodness. Yeah. And by passing, I mean it was completed.
It was completed.
Right.
And so Kinsley Versus, which is 45 minutes long. Screen Test was 15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Single set, very sort of streamlined story.
Right.
Kinsley Versus is absolutely the next step in project scope.
Right.
So let's focus our conversation a little. I read the script several times. I gave you notes. Some of them you took, some of them you didn't. It began the conversation and the vocabulary for the story.
Yes.
And then over Zoom, because it was January 2021, we got a bunch of people together. I was actually in Miami at the time. You were in Astoria. We got like 10 or 12 people together. We read the script out loud over Zoom. One thing that emerged out of that reading was the team of people who would become the producers.
Right. Yeah. The producing team came together in a really, like, I couldn't have planned it. In fact, I didn't plan it. In fact, I just really planned on having the reading, but I didn't know what I was going to learn. But the really surprising thing was the producing team coming together off of that reading. So I had worked with another friend from college, Allison Kohler, on Screen Test originally. I had told her about Screen Test. Oh, I have this idea. I'll like film it on my iPhone. And she was like, no, you need a gaffer. You need a lighting setup. You need a DP. You're not doing it on your phone. I'll help you. So she hopped on as producer for Screen Test. And when I told her like, hey, I want to do this one next, she was like, I'm game. She was already on board. And then we had Sarah States, who was actually an actor in Screen Test. I thought she was so phenomenal. She is so phenomenal as an actor and as a human being. And I wanted her to read a part in the table read. I wanted her to read Edie. I thought, oh my gosh, she would be scathing and wonderful. Let's hear it through Sarah.
Scathing and wonderful, Sarah States.
Yeah, I love it. She wrote back some awesome feedback that she gave me after the table read.
Specifically about the role that she read, not about producing it. Just like, here's some thoughts about her experience reading as an actor.
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking about like the kind of the arc that Edie, that character, needed to take and her questions, like what I hadn't filled in yet as a writer and where it needed to go. And then in the course of that conversation, she said, also, I'm game to help produce this. What do you need? Let me hop on board. Then simultaneously, you and I were connecting afterwards. And
we connected before. Mm-hmm. Because I read the script, at least two different drafts of it, in the month prior to doing the reading. I remember standing in a gas station I had no car and I was in Florida for like a month. Where else? You know, I had no life.
Yeah,
I had
a good going. That makes sense for 2020, yes. 2021. Yeah.
So I was in a gas station and we were talking about the surreal nature of the script. And I was trying to understand it. But that was before we ever did the reading.
Yeah.
And so we had several conversations in which my role or our partnership was not defined. It was just conversations that we always have about the work we're doing and this and the art we're consuming and the things we're watching. By the time we got to the script reading and the post of the script, when Ali said, I'll work on this one, and Sarah said, I'd like to work on this one, I had sort of expressed that, but not definitively. We started off this episode by saying, it depends on what you consider the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think this conversation in a certain way demonstrates that, right? The beginning was happening for a while, and it was through a series of non-linear steps of conversations with different people, a reading that allowed you to hear the actual work out loud. That happened in January, and I would say over the course of February, March, April, we had at least three or four meetings, the four of us together, in which we started to sort of solidify. We are the producing team. And Courtney, you were sharing with us visual research, and then eventually a full pitch deck. And then eventually I took that pitch deck and I was like, but it needs to be better.
And yeah, that was the fun of having Benji come on as a producer. Him telling me that the glow filter I put under this one photo, if it could be thinned and shortened, and we just kept thinning and shortening it until the glow was right. But I will say that even though that's a very small detail on a pitch deck that most people in the world are never going to see, it also kind of refined our working relationship in a sense. We had a tangible thing. I had come to you guys as a producing team with the tangible thing, the script. But then as the producing team, even though I was kind of leading the drive on the pitch deck for a while, we started working on that together. It was all of ours together.
Yes, yes. And I'll say what's cool about this part of the process is, yes, it's how we built our relationship, but also it helped me discover where my value would be or mm-hmm. what I could specifically bring to the project. Courtney and I both have a real attention to detail, of course, but when it's your writing and your directing and a project that you're going to produce, you start to make little compromises. You have blind spots because you just can't possibly take it all on. I started to, I think, just identify like, well, that could be a little bit better, or that's a little less clear.
Right.
And I never had to convince you of that. Once I pointed out, you were like, you're right. And then we would work together on refining.
And not only was it like, oh, you're right. It was like when I, as a writer, and even conceptually as a director in my head, I've been thinking about this script for so long. It was a breath of fresh air for people to come in and reflect something back to me. It reinvigorated me. It was like, oh, let me refine what I'm saying, or let me decide what I'm saying.
Yes. Let me decide what I'm saying. Let me refine it. And I think that is really what's happening before pre-production begins. You are refining both the team that's going to make it, you're sort of building that, and then you're also refining what it is the script is doing and saying.
This episode of The Break Breakdown is brought to you by Atmosphera, a new photo studio and event space located in Astoria, New York. Maybe you're a bride in need of a beautiful venue that doesn't require taking out a loan, or maybe you're an editorial assistant managing a fashion shoot. If you need a venue, Atmosphera is the answer. Overflowing with natural light and unique architectural detail, Atmosphera offers elegance and intimacy coupled with the expanse of an industrial loft. Also included, a kitchen and full bar setup. A side alcove can be closed off for dressing rooms or backstage area. Check out atmosfera.nyc. That's atmosfera.nyc. So Kinsley Versus is about a 30-something-year-old ambitious writer. She's living in New York City. It's right after the pandemic. And she desperately wants to make something out of her life, and it's not really going well for her. So she wants to manifest, in air quotes. And as she does, her thoughts actually come to life and they become characters that she sees and interacts with around her. So she's got her ego, she's got her fear, she's got all of these different thoughts that have different attitudes, and not only attitudes, but desires and wants out of her and out of this process that she's in. And it's a fight between her and her thoughts. Who's going to win? Or is there a draw? We don't know until the very end. So that's a world that we were living in. And for me, I wanted it to be a real world. I didn't want to do anything that didn't feel not of the real world, because I just felt like when you have these thoughts, they feel real to you.
Yes. And I think that actually in this way, the script is very theater based because on film, typically we embrace the fact that we can do all kinds of things in post to overlay different realities and play with reality. Whereas in theater, we're all breathing the same air, the audience and the actors alike. And so there's only so much you can do to disguise what's actually happening. I didn't realize in the beginning how they show up in Kinsley's world as if they are friends or as if they are colleagues or customers at a cafe. We don't try to justify how that happens. And it took me a little while to get on board with that, though actually artistically, it's so how I believe storytelling should work. That the best storytelling happens when you just sort of thrust realities together rather than relying on smoke and mirrors to like manipulate the audience into thinking something or representing something.
Right. And I agree with that artistically, that like if the story is structurally sound, then you are miles ahead than anything that you could kind of produce in post. But also I knew whatever budget we were going to come to was going to be limited, and our ability to fly in, you know, a crane or a dolly and do, we couldn't do this stuff.
We couldn't do that stuff. Right. So actually, once we sort of landed like, oh yeah, this is a story where all the people or all the actors are in the same room and we don't ever try to manipulate what the audience is or isn't seeing. I think we do that one time in the series. And yeah, that's it. It's the only time we tell you the thoughts aren't real in the sense they're not flesh and blood people. Other than that, we don't ever try to help you get there as an audience or try to fool you. And for me, that was very important because I was so skeptical. Getting like, this is a high concept. And high concept that I wanted to make sure we could produce beautifully,
right,
and elegantly, and on a very limited budget. And it actually became very unhigh concept.
Yeah. And part of that was getting the feedback from that reading. I mean, I got a lot of similar questions and a lot of similar responses. Some responses to it was like, oh dear God, this is a harsh script and it pains me and I'm upset by it. And some of the feedback was, oh wow, this is so relatable.
How did you know what notes to take and what you were going to leave behind?
Well, I heard them both as the same note. Like I heard them both as the same note, just expressed in a different way. Because if I'm ever looking at a piece of art and I'm like, oh shit, that's usually because it struck a nerve with me that was relatable. And so what I took from that, like, wow, this is a really harsh script note was, okay, then I don't want to sacrifice the extremes that I'm going to, because that is the story. The story is about these non sequitur ridiculous thoughts. If we don't have the ridiculous thoughts, there's not a lot of story there. It's just like someone mumbling to herself in her kitchen, which I do too, but not interesting. And so I decided that, okay, if we're going to go to those extreme, like kind of darker places, where can we find more levity? Where can we find more light? Can we balance it out a little bit? So we like bring people on and they know that even if we go to a darker place, we can get back to a laugh. And it's not all doom and gloom. I wanted to really make sure that, you know, and we'll talk about casting at some point in the season, but I wanted to make sure that we had people and actors who were able to find both ends of the spectrum, the light and the dark. And that was actually really helpful feedback to get.
I want to say, this is what makes Courtney very smart about the way you took this feedback, was that on the one hand, it sounds like these are two very different competing ideas. And you were like, oh no, I hear them as the same note. And I think that's so valuable to consider when you get feedback on any work that you're creating. On the one hand, first of all, it's subjective. Nobody's right, right?
Right.
It's just what resonates with them. But two, you can hold the two seemingly opposing notes in both hands and say, oh, it's pushing somebody away and oh, somebody's drawn to it. That to me is actually, that's a decent piece of work right there, because I think this thing I learned in college, good art has the capacity to both unite and divide. And so your goal when you're beginning to solidify that script so that it can become producible, your goal is not to please everybody. Your right. goal is to decide what the story you want to tell is and make sure you have the people around you to help you bring that telling to life. The takeaway is the beginning is a windy path, mm-hmm. and all of the conversations that are happening, it sometimes are about budget, sometimes they're about casting, sometimes they're about dramaturgy, sometimes they're about like a pitch deck. These are the conversations that you want to be having before you get into pre-production, because what you're fundamentally doing is just examining the thing from all different angles. And at some point you're going to say, okay, I think we've had enough of those conversations.
Right.
Let's do the next step.
Yeah, you're kind of kicking the tires for a while.
Yes.
Before you buy it.
But you shouldn't be discouraged by that. You should see that as,
yes.
as doing the thing. And at some point, someone has to say, okay, no more of those conversations. Let's right. take the next step.
Right.
But the next step is not going to be just revealed to you. It's going to be because you decide you're ready to go.
Right. And and for me, the only reason that I knew that it was time to go was because I had gotten feedback. I had gotten interest. I have my own set of artistic standards that I felt like I was doing good enough, knowing that I was always going to keep making improvements until we locked the picture. I knew that it was artistically at the place where I wanted it to be jumped off from. I knew I could keep making it better. And I said, we're not going to know if we can do this until we do this. So let's build this plane as it's taking off and let's start.
Yeah. I love that.
I say that in therapy all the time. And I think my therapist is like, we got it, Court.
I want to say one more thing about the producing team. which is the producing team assembled on its own ad hoc in a lovely way. I knew Ali from college. Ali and I had not really kept in touch, though this project has brought us so much closer together. And I never had met Sarah before. And over the course of our meetings and conversations, again, all of which happened on Zoom, we started to gel as a team. We knew Sarah was going to be in it as an actor. We knew Ali was going to design the costumes. And we knew Courtney was going to direct it and write it. And I was going to produce it. But we were all producers. And the reason I'm bringing that all up is we didn't know what the roles and responsibilities of each producer was. But because we were going to be building and flying at the same time, that was going to emerge. So it's another example of you don't need to know everything up front. It will begin to define itself. But you do have to have people who are committed to working together, and I think to respect each other.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere just yet. We've got one more thing for you. This season, we're talking about how we made a digital series. But regardless of the medium, if you're making something, you're in a process. And since there are so many different approaches to process, we decided to ask other artists about theirs. This is The Final Word.
My name is Jen Spira, and I'm a writer. So here's a story about a time when I was creatively stuck and how I got unstuck. I was writing a story, and it ended up being a novella. So it was a really big, fat, long story. And something was just not really working with the prose. It wasn't feeling the way that I wanted it to feel. The story is called Big Time. I was inspired to write it by a few things. One specific thing was in 2013, I read an article in Vanity Fair that was an interview with Ava Gardner. And it was Ava Gardner talking about her life. And I started to write this story. I got a draft of this thing out, and it just wasn't as immediate and crackling and alive as that interview with Ava Gardner. I was trying to figure out what is not working about the prose. And I'm not exactly sure how I came to this, but I reread a book that a friend wrote. He basically wrote a book in the voice of Joe Biden. It was so immediate and so casual. It reminded me of that Ava Gardner interview. And after I read that, I was like, oh, it can be like that. There was literally one paragraph where he said, you know how it is. And just saying something as casual as that, that became my key in a rewrite for the story that I was working on. And just thinking of, you know how it is, that totally cracked the character's voice open for me. And when I did a rewrite, it really brought the character alive.
Today's episode of The Break Breakdown was hosted by me, Courtney Romano. It was executive produced by Benjamin Shaw, with audio and music supervision from Match Zimmerman. It was produced by Sarah States and created by me, Courtney Romano. Season 3 of The Break Breakdown is made possible through the generous support of Eddie and Wendy Shaw, with special thanks to Craig and Elle Hansen. And don't forget, you can watch the full series of Kinsley Versus now on YouTube. Just go to the show notes for the link. The Break Breakdown is a project of Queensbird Films.